Did you know that our Heavenly Father has made all of us promises? And the thing about promises, a lot of times, how many of you know that promises are only as good as the person who's making them? And if your word isn't good, this is one of the things that boils down to trust. And trust is such an important thing. It's one of the things that I share it with people in either premarital counseling or even in marital counseling, that love is not the foundation for a good relationship. I know that's what the world preaches and teaches, but I got news for you. It's trust. You can love somebody, but if you cannot trust them, you don't have a relationship. And every parent here who's had a child who's had an addiction issue, you know what I'm talking about. You love that child, but you cannot stay here anymore because they are stealing from you. You're just taking everything you get, money, you steal everything that we've got. And it's a hard decision that sometimes, but trust is so important. Can I trust you? Has little to do with how I feel about you. It's, have you proven yourself trustworthy? Trust is such an important thing. And our God calls us to trust Him. And the biggest thing that we're trusting Him with is our eternal destiny. He's made promise. We believe that promise. And so we open our heart to trust Jesus, that what He did on the cross for us is valid and effective for us even today. But sometimes, the promises of God, we don't receive them. And one of the biggest factors and reasons why we don't receive from God is not because God isn't trustworthy, is because we want the promise on our own terms. We want it to look like this. God, I need you to do this, and I need you to do it this way, and by Wednesday, please. We want it on our own terms. But like the gift of salvation, you only get that by receiving Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so also is the gift of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was first poured out in this new way, Peter's preaching, and he's talking to the people there, and they ask, well, what do we do? And so in Acts chapter 2, verse 30, he says, repent, turn, do a 180. Peter said to them, be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter says, receive Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far off, not just geographically, but in time, and as many as the Lord our God will call. So today I'm wrapping up this portion of this, my desire for you, because my desire is for you is that you receive and use the supernatural gifts that God has provided to strengthen you, to bless your life, and to bring victory in your life. Last week, we had Megan and Karen and Joe share their testimony of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the interesting thing is, my dad, who was actually the first pastor of this church back in the 70s, I had seen my dad growing up as a kid and even into adulthood lay hands on hundreds and hundreds of people over that period of time. And as he prayed, people began to be filled with the Spirit and speak in a new language, other tongues. And the thing is, let me just ask, over the last 2 weeks, the first week we were on this, just prayed a general, Lord, fill your people. Last week we laid hands on people. How many of you receive the Holy Spirit and you've received your prayer language? You see your hand? All right. Yes, 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 yes. You say, well, I'm not sure, Pastor. Listen, raise your hand by faith. Amen. Don't be afraid to speak. It's an act of faith. You're trusting the Spirit of God for each new sound that comes forth. Again, this doesn't make you crazy, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, don't be drunk with wine, where is debauchery. That is doing stupid stuff that you're not thinking about the consequences of. It's outward drunkenness and the like that makes you do crazy things. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is the opposite of that. You say, well, Pastor, I've known some crazy. Yeah, I have too. I've known some crazies too. But you know what? They were crazy before.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the reality of it. But the scripture is clear that we are to desire fervently and pursue the gifts that God has given. Let's look at the words of Jesus, okay? I don't want you just taking my word for it. You think you can trust Jesus' words? Okay, all right, that sounds good. In Luke chapter 11, he says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Now, the thing here is, a lot of times we want to give a whimsical kind of look at something. Oh, I looked and I didn't get anything. No. This seeking is an intent pursuit. It's an intense pursuit of something. Knock. You know. Okay, I don't always like doing this, but the Greek language is a little bit different, as other languages are, than English. And I'm most proficient in English and only English. But there are tenses, not just like we have past tense, present tense, future tense, the way certain words are. The Greek language has that too, but there's so much more in there. They have the perfect tense. They have the aorist tense. It's mind-boggling. but literally when Jesus says ask, it's ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. That's the tense of these Greek words. Knock and keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks keeps on seeking finds. To him who knocks keeps on knocking, it will be opened. And then he goes into this Father's Day analogy. You ready for this one? He says in verse 11 of Luke 11, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a rock, a stone? Charlie Brown Halloween, I got a rock. You know, see, I've seen that. You need to go back and watch those. Anyway, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then Jesus describes this a little further in John chapter 14. All this is still before the day of Pentecost, you understand. John 14, verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him. The world does not recognize, doesn't understand the Holy Spirit. Doesn't understand God, for that matter. The world is unable to receive it because it doesn't see him. Now, this word see here means to perceive, to recognize, to understand. They don't know him, but you do know him because he remains with you, and coming soon, he will be in you. Now, one of the reasons why we're looking at this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says this. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. It's interesting in Scripture, there's three times the Scripture says, I don't want you ignorant about this. The Holy Spirit, and another one is, you know, the coming of the Lord and all this kind of, and yet, those the three areas that the Scripture speaks, don't be ignorant about these things within the body of Christ and with the world at large. These are the things that we're most ignorant about. I don't want you to be ignorant. So obviously, he's going to say some things to help us to understand. And guess what? We've had a lot of help to misunderstand. And that's part of the problem. So There's no way that, I mean, that we can cover all this. Like I says, there hopefully was going to come at this point this year. Some Sunday evenings for those of you who are interested and you just want to be less ignorant of these things. We'll just talk about the gifts of the Spirit because that's the thing we want to look at. What they are, what they're not, and what they can look like in your life. So I want to pick up where I didn't get to last time, and I want to talk to you about why you would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power, strength. Greek word here is dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. It's explosive power. It's the same kind of thing that happens in the internal combustion engine. There's a little explosion that takes place to move the pistons, you know. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now listen to me carefully. Why you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is because you need power. We need God's power within in order to resist the pressures from without. The world, Satan, we need supernatural strength against a supernatural enemy. Now here's where, let me say it as simply as I can because we don't have time to unpack it all. But throughout church history, there are people who have thought that, you know, what we need to do as believers, you know, come out from among them and be ye separate. And they've taken that to an unbiblical extreme, and they go live in places, monasteries, whatever. People then, even people today who don't go into cloistered places like that, but just, you know, they just try to separate themselves. They're going to go live in the woods and just not have anything to do with society because we're going to come out and be separate. That's not what the Scripture says. Paul made clear in 1 Corinthians earlier in this book, he says, what's wrong with you? He's talking to the Corinthian people and to us. What's wrong with you people? I'm not saying isolate yourself from the world. Not to have anything to do with people of the world, because then you'd have to come out of the world. Beam me up, Scotty, you know. Get me out of here. That's the only way you're not going to have contact with the world. Listen to me. What God wants to do in you and me is not isolation, but insulation. He wants to insulate you. You know, one of the things that always amazes me, I just got back from Lake Superior, and the water there is cold. Yet you see ducks, quack, quack, paddling around. They've got insulation. You're right, it doesn't affect them at all. And if you've ever seen a loon, whoa, boy. Man, those things are crazy. They're like a little submarine. They're on the water, and all of a sudden they just start going down. Blah, blah, blah. You're in the boat, and you just see them underwater there. And yeah, they do sound like a crazy person whenever they cry out. It's amazing. They're cool, all right? I don't want one as a pet, but, you know, maybe later. Were we talking about something? Oh, yeah. Isolation. No. Insulation, yes. Again, when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit as the Bible describes and receiving a spiritual language, a language that transcends our earthly languages, our ability to speak, we're not dealing with some sectarian religious notion that tongues makes you a superior saint, because guess what? It doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't make you any better. God never gave spiritual language as some kind of a badge of achievement. He gave it as an ability for prayer and for praise and for working against the enemy, what he's doing, far beyond our human capabilities to understand. And I want you to understand very clearly, please hear me. As someone who has been blessed to serve here for 40 years, you don't have to speak in other tongues in order to be loved or accepted here at Family of Faith. I hope if you've been here a length of time, you know that. That's not a condition of our fellowship. But I would say this. If you're still not sure about all that we would ask is that you don't speak against it. If you got questions, come talk to me. Because I don't have time to deal with all the stupid nonsense. I am going to deal with one of them here in just a little bit. But there's just so much stupidity out there. It just makes you wonder. Never mind. Lord, forgive me. I would hope that should anyone ever ask you about this and you haven't received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I would just simply ask you to say, I haven't received that yet. And sincerely mean it. That you're still seeking, asking, knocking. So in Ephesians 5, when the Lord says, keep on being filled with the Spirit, it isn't just only a matter of praying in the Spirit, but that's part of it. For when we pray in the Spirit, listen to me, we tear down strongholds. Darkness is diminished. We build ourselves up with a strength, a power to withstand the enemy. See, if you haven't figured it out yet, live a little longer and you will. We are living in times where hell would like to break you down. You do understand, by the way, that hell and the lake of fire are not the same thing, right? Yes. Book of Revelation says death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So, anyway, the reality is you can receive the promise of your Father and be filled and keep on being filled with the Spirit. So all this began, Acts chapter 1, let's look at it one more time. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, the 120, not just the disciples of Jesus, 120 of them were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set upon each of them. And they were all filled, all of them, all 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the one thing that I heard, gosh, I mean, it's probably been 50 years ago. Some preacher got up and I've seen it in these people who are too smart by half commenting on people on, you know, on social media, YouTube, whatever. All their reasons why they don't believe and so forth. And one of them says, how come every Pentecost comes to Acts chapter 2 in these first four verses and they only focus on one of the signs? How come they don't focus on the rushing mighty wind and the sound and the tongues of fire? Okay. Can we back it up to, let's go just to verse 3. Janine, can you take us back to verse 3? It says, there appeared to them, there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's verse 2. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and set up on each of them. Okay, all these things happened. Okay, sound, wind, looked like a tongue of fire, whatever that is. And it says, then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so I'm reading this, and I did reasonably well in English. I know how to read. Yeah, and I know how to, well, I still remember conjugating Latin verbs and so forth. But I can do that in English too. Notice these things happened, and it says, and then they were filled. These things happened. But they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't look for these other signs. Now, if you go through the rest of the book of Acts and you find where people were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, because they say, you know, why doesn't this happen every time somebody's filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you. You read through the book of Acts and you find those other places, it doesn't say, and there was a sound, and there was a rushing mighty wind, and there were tongues of fire. This just happened this one time. Why? I don't know. I'm not God. I don't have to figure out everything in order to move and flow with God. Just like I don't have to understand how my car engine works to get in and go someplace. I don't care. If it's broke, fix it, please. I gotta go. As Jesus said in John chapter 7, we looked at that verse. He says it's from your this being filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit giving you utterance. Where most people miss it, they think it's gonna come from their head and out of their mouth, like you do with your natural language. For most of us, English. It comes from your head and then comes out your mouth. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers. It comes up from down here. And it's just sounds, syllables. You give voice to as an act of faith. Okay? The Holy Spirit isn't going to come and open your mouth and move your lips and tongues. He's not going to make you speak. You speak, but he gives the utterance. So again, out of there, you give voice to those things. So let's target what I really want to target here in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 1, it says, pursue. Pursue love. To do something with intense effort, a definite purpose or goal. To strive toward love and desire. That is earnestly, to set your heart on, to be completely intent. Desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul is talking to these people and to us about speaking in other tongues, your private prayer language, and then what is a ministry gift that is used in a church, and that is to be interpreted. Okay? So he says, verse 2, now listen to it, read it carefully with me. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue, in a tongue, does not speak to other people. He's not speaking to men. Some of you grew up in churches. Oh, well, that's for missionaries to go to the floor. You know, I know people that God has supernaturally endowed. Oh, I think of the Canadian lady, Rana May. She was in Argentina. There, Hector Jimenez, I had the privilege of meeting him years ago. At the time, his church was 120,000 people strong. And then his associate pastor took 40,000 of them. This poor guy was down to 80,000 people. And it's interesting because the way they do things there, they have church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, except in their winter. And then they only do it 16 hours a day. And what you do is you come in the back door, at the end of the service, you go out this side, and a new group, there's people lined up outside to come in. Well, Rana May, she's a Canadian, she speaks English, and she's there, and her interpreter, she's about to be, because the senior pastor can't preach all of these. And so she was one of the speakers, and her interpreter was nowhere to be found, and she's standing there as this service is about to close. She says, Lord, if you don't send my interpreter, you better help me to speak because I don't know Spanish. And she's just praying. She says, all of a sudden, I'm hearing what's going on in the service, and I'm starting to understand what they're saying. And I got up, and I preached in perfect, fluent Spanish. And she, you know, that does happen. That does happen. But that's not what he's talking about here, because he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to other people. That's not what it's for. You're speaking to God. Do you understand the distinction? For no one understands him. Duh. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And that is not to be mysterious. He speaks things that are beyond his own ability to make happen. You pray. Romans chapter 8 verse 26 makes it clear. When we pray by the Holy Spirit, that he enables us to pray the perfect prayer. You run into those situations, I don't know how to pray for this situation. Lord, it's just too tangled. You pray in the Spirit and you address that. Again, it's a miraculous thing that's done by faith. You see, there's no less than four specified uses of speaking in tongues in Scripture. That's what you got to understand. It's not all the same throughout. Paul talks about more of them in 1 Corinthians 14, but we're only focusing on one of them right now. Okay? So, verse 2, the one that you're not speaking to other people, for them, you're speaking to God. Okay? And notice what it does when we speak this way. Now, he's tying in, help them to understand the difference between somebody who has a ministry gift of giving a message in tongues that is then interpreted, which he says is equivalent to prophecy. Okay? He says in verse 4, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Now, this builds up, or your translation may say edify, means to strengthen. And the part that I like about it, it means to make more able. Wouldn't you like to move beyond your abilities that you have right now? Or sometimes I think, what abilities? I have limitations. You move beyond that by praying in the Holy Spirit. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. He says, now, and to make, because too many people would say, you know, look at the but in there, you know. He's not making an either or. This is a both and. Because he goes on to say right after that, now I want you all to speak in tongues. But even beyond that, to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so the church may be built up. Now, here's the final thing that I really want to leave you with. Well, it's not the final thing, but next major point. Dropping down to verse 13, get this. He says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. You can't interpret those prayers that you're praying. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Why? Because it's not for human to human use, as in understanding it that way. He says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is fruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit. I will also pray with the understanding. Again, it's a both and. Notice this. I will sing in the spiritual language. I will sing with the spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. Singing in tongues. Now, using your prayer language to sing brings a whole new level of breakthrough. Whole new level of breakthrough. He says in verse 16, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, in other words, your spiritual language, your prayer language, how will he who occupies the place of uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Okay? This is, you would do well at the dinner table to pray, bless the food, bless the people eating with you in other tongues. But he says that's not going to benefit them because they don't, okay, because I don't understand what you're saying. I can't agree with something that I don't understand what you're saying. And I don't know when to say amen. Amen. You know, you're just not sure. But he says, for you indeed give thanks well. In other words, he's saying there's no better way to actually give thanks than praying in your spiritual language. He says, but the other's not edified. So when you are with other people, you want them to be able to participate. It's not a one-man show. You got space for one more verse. Okay, just one more verse. And move down to the end of the chapter, verse 39. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Used to listen to a pastor I really admired in Tulsa. He was, at that time, had the largest church in Tulsa. And every Sunday evening, after their service, he would go do a live radio broadcast. And inevitably, once in a while, you know, somebody would, he would bring up the Holy Spirit. And somebody would call in and ask him about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking with other tongues. And he would give all the good Baptist reasons why they didn't believe that. And then somebody would call in and say this verse. Don't forbid to speak with tongues. Well, as a good Baptist, you can't deny Scripture. And they immediately would retreat and say, look, I have many minister friends and other people that I know that have this gifting. We just don't participate. Okay, it's your loss. The thing is, what has been said, see, I grew up as a kid in the 60s. Yeah, the big peace movement, hippies, peace brother. (clears throat) And the charismatic renewal, the charismatic movement was moving across where people in mainline denominational churches were being filled with the Holy Spirit. And anytime God does something, there's always a religious voice, even in Christian denominations, who want to rise up and speak against it. And he said, well, it's divisive, and therefore it can't be of God, because it's splitting churches. It has split my church. And I got news for you. Speaking in tongues never split a church. Amen. Rejection of speaking in tongues has split many churches. That's how this church came to be. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go with God's word. I'm not going to look for reasons why not. Any promises of God, I'm going to look for reasons why. Because I don't know about you, I need everything. I've heard people say, oh, it builds me. I wouldn't. This gift, it builds you up. I've heard actually people say, I wouldn't want such a selfish gift. Okay, I'll take yours too, because call me selfish. I don't care. If God says I need it, who am I to say that I don't? You may not want it. It may not be your cup of tea. But let me tell you something. I'm just asking you to stay open to everything and anything that God wants to give you. I want everything that God has for me. I don't want to just remain, so many people, I've got my salvation, I've got Jesus, and I'm just holding on to that as best I can, you know. Okay. But you can have so much more. God has given it to you. My favorite example is this, because I practiced it a few too many times and suffered the consequences. You know, you're a kid, you're pouty, and you're in a bad mood, and mom says, dinner time, come to the table, and I'm not going. And she's prepared all of this for you. And because you're in some kind of a funk, you don't want to come to the table and eat. Am I the only one? Okay. All right. And so in that scenario, who ultimately misses out? I mean, it's the kid who doesn't know what's best for him and doesn't understand the sacrifice that mom has made to prepare food for you to eat. And you're going to be a baby about it. Now, I'm going to stop right there, because I'm not calling anybody here a baby. I just want you to understand, God loves you, and He wants more for you than you even know. And you can trust your Heavenly Father that when you open to not just this gift, but, you know, there's 9 gifts there that are mentioned.